good evening, everybody. It's Monday night. Welcome to the third and Footlunk show. My name's Darren Lees.
And I'm DT.
Ah, good evening, DT.
Good evening, Darren. Nice to see you in person.
Yes, it's been a few weeks, but we are back.
I know.
In the studio.
Back and not on what looks like Zoom, but it's not Zoom.
No, no. And what a big weekend.
I know. Draft weekend.
It was draft weekend. Biggest, arguably one of the biggest weekends of the year for us.
Yes, definitely. Also, you got your hair cut, which is, of course, important as well.
It was. It was. But one thing I didn't do this weekend was have a shave. I decided it was a...
caveman look.
That's right.
It's okay.
Just the new look for the show.
As we were discussing before, I desperately need a haircut and I look like a werewolf, so I can't...
Oh, you've done pretty well, though, by covering up with the headphones.
Yeah, that looks really bad.
No, I'd say, no, it's back. The look's back. So how did you draft? How did you do the draft? Did you watch every single pick absolutely live, or did you do some retro watching?
Retro, because I wanted to sleep in on Sunday.
Do you know what? I actually set my alarm.
Oh, you did?
And it went off at 3:45.
Yeah.
And I went,
yep.
Six will do. Six will do. Yeah.
That's why I was like, oh, I was going to, but then I thought, you know what? We have a long weekend, luckily, because Anzac Day. So I thought, yeah, nah.
Yeah, that's fair. I was kind of keen.
Yeah.
Because I was very interested in some teams that I had high interest in were picking very early.
Yeah.
Like they were going to be picking at like 4:15 and I was like, I really want to. And then I went, nah. I woke up, saw that my Premier League team won and then went back to sleep.
Oh, your ham team team.
My ham team, yes. My food ham. Related team.
Ham ham.
Do you know what? We're kind of celebrating that we kind of alluded to last week? What this weekend always means.
Yes, also, well, did you see that? I don't know if you saw, have you logged into our YouTube?
I have had a look at our YouTube, yes.
And onto the Creator Studio, because it has like a little cake for us, because it's our 1 year anniversary.
Oh, thank you, YouTube. That's like, guess what? I bought us a 1 year old balloon today as well.
Nice.
How about that?
It's about our maturity, isn't it?
It's about a 1 year, 1 year balloon. There we go. Mm-hmm.
1 year balloon.
A 1 year balloon. How do we?
Yeah.
Does that interfere with filming? I don't know. We deserve to give ourselves some love for the...
For the 1 year.
1 year.
For the
1 year.
For the birthday cake.
So happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank
Graham.
You. So yes, so I watched all of round one, two and three. I did say to myself, after two, I'll watch three back later. But yeah. I kind of got a bit hooked into it.
Well, I feel like sometimes it's not quite obvious when it comes round three and you're like, oh, we're in round three. Because you're just watching them, you go, oh, okay.
And then when you get to five, six and seven, you're like, oh, please. And then please be over.
Mr. Irrelevant.
Oh, yes.
Which takes ages to...
I know. What a great name, though.
Mr. Irrelevant.
As in, like, the player who was Mr. Irrelevant, Red Murdoch.
I also, to be fair, I quite liked when the Navy running back went to Steelers. Because that's always a nice moment when people get drafted to their hometown team.
Yes, there was I thought there was a better military pick.
The D-tackle Navy.
Yes.
Yep.
So I thought that was a pretty cool one. But this week, we have ridded ourselves of food. There is no food poll this week.
We ourselves are still eating. But yes.
Oh, yes, that's right. No,
I don't want people to think this will be a fasting video or something. No.
I was probably too much eating food. And watching football picks and stuff like that this weekend.
I'm trying to remember what I ate with the draft.
I just ate whatever was in the cupboard. I was like, yeah, I'll have one of those Anzac bars. You know, very topical.
Yeah.
Oh, popcorn. My daughter's gone away and left a packet of popcorn. That'll get used. Oh, cheese. That'll do. So, yeah, probably about 14 kilos heavier to go back to work tomorrow than I left on Friday. But
nice.
So we the food poll, because of how big this is, that will be back next week. Mm-hmm. And I've already had a guest food pollster.
I thought you were announcing we're having a guest. I was like, oh,
that's cool. No, guest food pollster has already sent me a, have you done one of these polls? And I was like, no, I don't think we have. They were like, please do one of these polls. So that is coming this week.
Do you know what? We could also do, I don't know why I just thought this, mustard. Like, what type of mustard do you like? Do you like that weird grainy one?
I can quite Dijon. Easily answer that question.
Or Dijon?
I can answer that question very easily.
American.
Zero.
You don't mess with mustard?
I hate mustard.
What about like on a hot dog?
Nah.
Burger?
Nah.
Just nah.
Nah. Nah.
No mustard.
Yeah.
What about, you know, when you get zero. An eye fillet and you put mustard on top?
No. Okay. That's called red wine juice or blue cheese or mushroom or... Nah, mustard, that rank.
Okay.
Rank. Do you know where it ranks as badass? Honey. Rank. Honey is rank as well.
So, wait. What about honey mustard?
Nah, honey. God, oh, God. How about honey seafood mustard? How about honey coffee seafood mustard? Ugh. How about honey coffee wine mustard seafood? Ugh.
Do you know honey mustard's normally my go-to sauce at Subway?
Is it really? Oh, God, no. Mine's habanero and garlic yogurt or something like that. You know I'm all about the spice.
I feel like it's kebab. I feel like you just make Subway and a kebab.
Oh, man, I'm on that. When I go and get a kebab and they go, you can pick your three sauces, I go, could I just have three lashings of hot chili, please? That'll just do for me.
I always find it, you know, I get annoyed, you know, when some kebab places don't include hummus, so hummus is one of your sauces.
I tell you what, I'm not keen on that tabbouleh stuff. I'm not about that.
I don't mind it.
I'm not sure I'm about that. Couscous, I'm not sure I'm about that either. Also, I'm not about that either.
Quinoa.
Nah, kale, not about that. Although, sort of like toasted kale, I can kind of do, because it just kind of just evaporates. It's like, it's gone.
I know it does. I'm just loving it because it's pretty much you're just not eating kale. It's why you...
That's right. That's why I like kale. It's because any kale I don't have to eat, I love. So, so mustard, zero. Nah. Get that away from me.
Okay. No mustard for you.
Imagine if we have to start cooking food for each other, just how bad that's going to be.
I just, honestly, I don't know what I'll cook you then, just plain rice. Oh, no, wait, do you eat rice?
I love rice. Yeah, I'm down for rice. I'm down for white rice. I'm down for brown rice. Basmati rice. Jasmine rice. I'm down for rice.
Sticky mango rice?
Yeah, I'm in for rice.
Okay.
Pineapple rice, I'm down for that. I had some of that when I was living in Sydney. That was cool. There was a pineapple hollowed out, filled with rice. That's the bomb. That was great. So for not doing a food poll, we just completely stole the first 7 minutes of the show doing food.
I know.
Yes. Yeah. It's such a big part of our life, right? Well, it's such a big part of our show. So we've got away. So now we've gone away from that. Shall we start off with some news?
News. Yes. News. I'm going. I'm sorry.
I was waiting.
Sorry, it was on the wrong screen.
That was such an orchestral crash at the end as well.
I quite liked it when I put it all together. I was like, yes.
I was so excited to announce it because I knew we had a new sort of soundbite because people love our soundbites. And then all of a sudden I was like, and you kept looking, you looked at me and I went,
I was on the wrong screen.
And I was like, it's got to come soon, surely.
I was trying to find my screen which had my news on it.
So, do you want to kick off? Because I've put one of mine's kind of draft related, and the other one, you're going to hate talking about it, but I'm not going to talk about it for the reasons that everyone else is talking about it.
I don't know if you saw the news just before the show. Mike Tomlin has joined NBC.
Yes, I had heard that he'd gone into TV, and I think that was pretty obvious he was going to end up there.
I find it a bit strange who he's replacing, though. Just optics-wise, he's replacing Tony Dungy.
Oh.
I just find that optics-wise...
Coach to coach, goodbye.
Yes, also representation-wise.
Yes, it's kind of like... No,
yeah.
There can only be a number, and that's the number, so someone's got to go.
So that just was a bit strange.
Yes.
It's fine. Another one that I thought was interesting, George Pickens not getting extended until after the season.
Yes.
So
there's always a bit of spice going on there, isn't there?
Yes, well, he is.
Talking of spice.
Spice.
Which one shall I go with? Both of these are going to be optics ones. First one, I'll throw it out there. It could have come up in the draft, but I think it's bigger than the draft. Diego Pavia.
Okay.
The first Heisman. I'm going to go to the other one in a minute.
I'm going
to
go James Pierce Jr.
Oh, nah.
Okay, just
I'm not going there. Okay. No. Diego Pavia. The first Heisman Trophy finalist since 2014 to go undrafted.
Yep.
Until someone picked him up undrafted.
Well, to be fair, he's not just picked up, he's going to a tryout for the Ravens.
Yes.
So he's signed.
Ah, so he's just kind of like... And the problem here is the optics of the behaviour. So yes. I don't think anyone doubts the talent. He is small. So I don't know whether quarterback is really his position in the NFL.
I don't think the wave of hate he's getting is actually on par with Johnny Manziel, who had actual problems. like actual genuine problems that you kind of go, I don't feel like this level of hate should be placed on someone. It just seems a bit unfair, but it is the day of modern media, and he does say some things that are rather inflammatory, so...
Yeah, well, I think what happened is he lost the Heisman, which he thought he was entitled to, right? That's fine. We all get shortlisted for awards and think that probably should have won and didn't. But it was then
the
F the Heisman committee and then going to the nightclub and then the behaviour and...
Oh, it's not great, but you
nobody
know
just won. The NFL, 6-7. A few of us like that moving
in. I think
in.
He's not going to... Do you know why I think he's not going to be picked up by any team? Because no team wants that as a backup quarterback.
No.
Because it's just so distracting. And that's unfortunate for him.
Well, we saw that at our... Browns last year,
Shedeur
Sanders went there, and you kind of almost think it's going to be Shedeur Sanders part two. Although Shedeur Sanders is still employed this year, so I don't know. He's almost got to have a, dare I say, come to Jesus moment where he kind of goes, do you know what? I messed up. I'm really sorry. I've kind of, you know, no one's talking about Puka Nacua at the moment. And he's gone away to get himself sorted and stuff. Like, I think if he has one of those moments, I think he's kind of got to go to the UFL or the CFL or something like that. And he's got to really have a burnout season. I mean, he's still probably got a career, but I don't know. Could he be a running back? Could he be, you know, he's small, he's stocky, he runs the ball well as quarterback. Could he be repurposed as someone else? And so, because quarterback's always the highest sort of profile position in any team, right? And maybe if he just went to another position.
So the thing is, if he was like an undoubtable starting quarterback, this wouldn't be a problem because it'd just be you'd have a fiery starting quarterback. So the fact he's most likely going to be a backup is the thing. Because do you actually think he can be a starting, like a starting quarterback for a team?
Well, considering some of the people that they are talking about that have been picked. And I'm looking at them going, that's not a starting quarterback.
No, and to be fair, most of the ones being picked this year were not going to be starting quarterbacks.
It's good to see tonight that John's listening.
Oh, hi, John.
And I did tell him that we were going to be listening. He's actually just texted me the 5 top landing spots for Diego Pavia. Number 1 is McDonald's. Number 2 is Burger King. Number 3 is 7-Eleven. Number 4 is janitor. And number 5 is garbage man. Maybe he could go to Alabama.
He's out of eligibility.
Oh, is he gone? Has he run out of his years?
Yeah. He started in 2020.
Okay.
Yeah.
Damn.
So he didn't have that.
So he didn't have that option either.
No.
So look, I think it's a bit of a watch. I think over the next 2 or 3 weeks will be interesting. A tryout with the Ravens, you say?
Yeah.
So... I don't know. You just kind of hope people... There's some talent there.
Yep.
There's some talent there. It's just, what? Does he repurpose himself to take himself away from the spotlight? Or does he say, no, I'm a quarterback. I think I'm a starting quarterback in the NFL. Or does he go to the CFL or something like that and he has to rebuild again?
Do you know at the draft, when there's always quite a lot of hate on players, I'm always like, it always makes me a bit sad because, like, these are just people trying to live their dreams. And that's actually quite a cool thing. And then you go, there's all this hate. Because in any other time, if someone's just trying to live out their dream, it's, like, a nice thing. But then you get all of this, like, why are you even bothering with your dream? You're so short and all that. I mean, you're kind of like, dude, he's trying. He's doing more than most people, really.
Yeah.
Like, just in terms of, like, we're trying ourselves with our dream of having a football show. I'm sure we occasionally get snarky comments in our about it.
Oh, do we?
That you kind of go, we are trying our best to live our dreams. So when I see other people trying their best, I'm like, look, go for gold. Who knows? Might be a cool quarterback.
We had one video, I don't know what it was, but there were people like, oh, it was the Jalen Hurts to Pittsburgh video.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm.
Were there some non-lovers of that?
Yes.
Oh, so yeah. I managed to get a few people back on side by the end of it.
Yeah.
But it is, some people can't just go, here's my opinion. It's like, oh, and by the way, I want to trash you at the same time as well along the way.
And you kind of go, look, we are just trying to live our dreams like most people on the planet.
Exactly.
But yeah.
So what's your first piece of news?
My first piece of news was the Mike Tomlin.
Sorry.
The other ones are, most of my news is, like you say, draft related. So I don't know if we just want to get into the draft. The only other one I thought was Ravens versus Cowboys Rio game.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty cool.
I thought that was quite interesting because the defense coordinator for the Cowboys used to be with the Eagles. They went to Rio. Then you have the Ravens head coach has also been to Rio. So both are actually experienced teams at going to Rio.
The only one piece of news I wanted to bring up, and I know you'll hate it because I love Salacious Spice and stuff like that.
And you know where I'm going.
But actually, I'm not going to talk about that.
James Pierce Jr.
No, it's not James Pierce Jr. It's the other one.
Yeah, okay.
It's the Rossini and Vrabel.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people thought this was like nothing. But this has actually outlasted the draft. And that has to be pretty salacious if it's going to outlast the draft. Because the draft is probably the third biggest moment in the NFL calendar. Probably Super Bowl.
What's second?
Probably schedule release, I would say, is pretty big.
Oh, okay. I would put draft as second.
And draft, I would point out, they're going to be vying, right?
Okay.
But this is gone. And like, yeah, there's the affair. And then they're two adults. They're both going to live and die by their thing. Mm-hmm. What has been interesting, the fact that it's actually been going on for 6 years, which is really interesting. So that makes it even more.
I'm honestly surprised you haven't brought up the name of the son thing yet.
That's coming next.
Okay.
So that's because there was a post found on Twitter that, and that kind of then gained some more legs. And then there's a deny, and then you see the interviews of them both making derogatory remarks to their existing spouses. So you can see I've spent a lot of time on this weekend. I just literally watched YouTube videos about Diana Rossini's reporting from 2018 to 2026, Mike Vrabel's interviews with Diana Rossini. I have spent probably way too much time on this.
Yes.
But actually, I don't really, the affair is the affair. Okay, you know, there's going to be potentially at least one divorce, mm-hmm. especially with the rumours that it could be Rossini's husband who actually put a PI onto this and one thing and another. The child thing, I really think that's not really needed in the public life. It's difficult for when the child grows up, blah, blah, blah. What is interesting to me is that the NFL, who are normally holier than thou, they only need the slightest bit of scandal. And they're on it, and they're suspending people, and they're doing all of this.
Unless you're the Washington Commanders owner.
Yes, but he's gone. So, there's nothing to see here, Roger Goodell. Well, actually, there is some here to see, Roger Goodell. And that is Rossini's reporting on teams managed by or head coached by Vrabel, where players that he has then gone on to go and get have been reported on by her of being a higher requirement to get them that is actually true, which has scared other teams away, which has meant that the Tennessee Titans went and got Julio Jones. After Rossini kept reporting it was going to take at least a first, and then it took nothing like a first, and now into the spotlight is the A.J. Brown trade to the Patriots, which again Rossini reported on, saying it was going to need much bigger capital to get him, and now obviously does not seem the case. So I do think there actually is. The Athletic are apparently investigating the journalism that's been going on during her time with the Athletic. ESPN are incredibly quiet about it at the moment, but you would think that ESPN have got to do the same as well. So this isn't now so much to me about the affair. This is to me about the integrity of the game. And I think there's going to be a point where Goodell is going to have to step in and is going to have to go, has there been interference here as far as trades have been going?
So I think it's an interesting point because you know, the last few years, you know, when people get signed and then there's like what is pretty much a PR post for the agent? Like, that, so I think that you have got a point where probably the lines have been crossed between media and business and of the NFL. I don't know if you can get that back, though. It seems to have gone. So not just the Rossini thing, it's gone well over, and I don't know if you can get the integrity back for it.
Oh, I think what's interesting is obviously she's resigned.
Mm-hmm.
Where does Vrabel go? Because obviously he walked away from day three of the draft to get counselling.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be interesting, right? Is he going to be the coach of the New England Patriots on day one of the season?
Yes.
I think he probably is, but yeah.
It's the world we live in. Let's just be honest, it will be a year soon.
It's interesting. I mean, how long, if more stuff comes out, now that we're past the draft, there's no more distractions. It kind of died away a little bit on day three, but then the child thing came into effect. If it carries on this week, and if there is more stuff around player selections, trades, etc., how much longer can the NFL ignore it, and at what point do they then have to go, actually, we're going to have to investigate Vrabel here? So there you go, John, for all your laughs about Diego Parvia. Have that about your head coach. But no, I think that I put here the Rossini and Vrabel affair matter is bigger than the affair. And I genuinely believe it's more now about the integrity of the sport.
I also, just from a personal level, was very angry about how the whole thing is. For just female reporters, because there's already a very thin veil of credibility that we're allowed in this business, and this whole thing has now, again, made it thinner, and it just annoys me as a person who's now working in this business. From my personal point, I was just like, I hate this so much, can everyone just stop? Yeah.
I could have really just created some spice there and done a Kyle moment. I can't work with you anymore.
But I
think I alluded to this last week, right? The fact that she's kind of almost seemingly been forced to resign, and Vrabel's been allowed to stay in position, and has almost had to be like the constant, the pressure. And then when the 6-year photos came out, that was the, because at first he came out and went, anyone who sees anything in this is laughable. And we were with six people. The six people never appeared. Then the photos from 6 years ago, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, I've had to have some hard conversations with my family.
It's like,
come on.
She made whoever's coaching her, like crisis media wise, very smart decision to just get out. And then you can't add anything else to the fire, if that makes sense.
She's been in constant denial of it, but Vrabel's then come out and apologised, which kind of then throws her under the bus a little bit. So yeah, I'm not really sure we'll be seeing many photos of them together soon, depending on what the two spouses decide. I think Rossini's husband's out, because he's actually an incredibly rich, successful businessman, and he's got a very watertight prenup.
Can I just say, wouldn't you just love, though, if next week they've eloped to Las Vegas or something? I think that would just make your day.
Is there a team that needs a coach that he could go to? I'm pretty sure. Yeah. It would make my day. It would allow this. There was one guy who I was actually watching some stuff of, and he said, I thought this was a one and done video, and now I'm on number six. He said, and I didn't want to go here, but there's so much spice coming out, and the history of it now is so deep that, like, it just became, just, it just rolled on. But we'll see where it goes. But it's definitely interesting, and I think it's now become an NFL media integrity thing. Take away the...
What do you think? If Vrabel had been, obviously, at that hotel and there wasn't this previous stuff, if it just been with, like, Adam Schefter or something, do you think this would be a story? Probably not.
No.
It'd just be Adam Schefter was doing his job.
Yes. But I would love to have seen Mike Vrabel and Adam Schefter holding hands and sat by a fire together.
I would have preferred that. I would have preferred that.
It would have been beautiful.
It would have been so cute.
Yeah. I think
it's star watching or something. That would have been adorable.
I think the thing, if they'd have just been spotted talking to each other on a bridge or being sat down having a coffee, it wouldn't have been a deal.
No.
The holding hands and hugging then led someone to release photos from six, and it just became a monster. So, anyhow.
Draft.
Let's talk about the draft and the highly successful third and footlong draft, which reaped one. This was our joint draft, right? Because I'm just going to go into a victory. Yeah, there we go. It was here for a reason. One successful pick when we did alternate drafts.
And I have to say, you were close to maybe not making that pick, weren't you?
No, I was kind of almost on the non-Fernando Mendoza bandwagon, but... But did you go back and review your own 32 of how you... I actually went back and reviewed my own 32.
My main thing was making that video to... I also thought it was funny because my part in it, where I was so sure the Vikings would, of course, take a safety, with such certainty, I stated this, and they did not.
I was really happy to a degree. I think I got five.
Mm-hmm.
And really, the Arvell Reese versus David Bailey, I think when we talked about it, I was so... Are they going for the long rebuild? Are they going for the play it now? The thing that got me is how many people were surprised about Carnell Tate going at 4. I was so certain about that he was going to go at 4.
I wasn't surprised.
I wasn't either, but all these... So I got 5. I got 5 that were exactly correct, and I was quite... And again, with the Saints, I picked a wide receiver. They just chose a different wide receiver to what I picked. Yeah. But positional-wise, I think I got 16 or 18. So I was feeling... I'm going to take a victory lap for that one.
I'll take a victory lap.
But I'd like to have seen where you... And we will take a...
Victory lap for... our one.
For one. For our Fernando Mendoza. Well, who did you pick at 2? Did you go Arvel Reese then? When you were doing it?
Yeah, when I was doing it.
Okay. Yeah. I did not think that Love was going to go at 3. Did not buy that at all. So should we delve into the draft?
Yes.
I thought there was some interesting spice. Should we continue spice into the draft? Because there was one really spicy story. Not spicy, but I thought was hilarious.
Was it the Steelers and Eagles?
Yes, yeah. That was amazing, yes. So for those that don't know, Mekhi Lemon was on the phone to the Steelers talking about being drafted there, and the Eagles just jumped above them. They did a bit of a Kansas City Chiefs over the New Orleans Saints and went, you could put that phone down.
But the thing was, they couldn't get a hold of him because he was already on the phone.
That's right. I mean, wow, imagine putting that phone down and finding that.
Yeah.
And I think actually, for Mekhi Lemon, I think it's better.
Oh, it's definitely better.
I think it's going to the Eagles, Ben, to Steelers, because at the moment the Steelers really don't know what they're doing at quarterback. Yes, they picked one. Low, but they picked one. That's hardly going to be putting pressure on Aaron Rodgers to make his mind up. I heard that the expectation by Rooney was that he was going to make a decision before the draft, and Rodgers being Rodgers.
Has not.
Mm-hmm. So I thought I call that the tension moment of the draft. But the thing with Mekhi Lemon going to the Eagles, I think it's definitely the end of AJ Brown.
Oh, well, there's been reported the Eagles are operating as if he's not there.
Yeah.
Just straight up.
Yeah.
Just think he's not going to be there. They have to wait till post-June 1st, though. I think he's going to be traded to the Rams.
Oh.
Mm.
Oh.
I don't think he's been traded to the Patriots.
No. Well, the Patriots picked a good wide receiver up in undrafted, so.
That's why I think. Whereas the Rams didn't.
Well.
They picked one a bit further down the draft, which was fine, but.
Do you want to talk about the Rams?
The Rams first.
What was that?
Apparently, that's what they wanted to do. They're picking their quarterback for the future. Do you know what I found interesting, though? Because you know all the draft comparisons for Ty Simpson have been Brock Purdy. I find that interesting that you go, oh, Kyle Shanahan, oh, Sean McVay, are they just copying each other going short? And Kyle Shanahan's like, yeah, I really like my little avatar quarterback, so you should get one yourself.
I could not have seen two more disinterested head coaches at a draft.
I know.
Kyle Shanahan, they made that pick at 33. And he was, at first I actually thought.
He was pissed.
No, but I thought that Lynch had made the pick. But on the way here, I've been listening to Cowherd and the guy, I can't think of his name now, John. The guy that used to be the he used to work in the NFL. I can't believe I forgot his name. And he said, no, Shanahan has total control over the draft. Lynch has no control. So it's a Shanahan pick. And I'm like, he looked so miserable.
I don't know if you did this. I went through and I ranked the draft classes. And I have actually put the 49ers 32nd.
I thought that they had a pretty average draft.
The Jaguars, also not great. The Cardinals, I don't know what they're doing. I don't think they know what they're doing. And then the Vikings was a bit of a strange one too. But the 49ers draft class, what are you doing? Like, they're picking people that are just, like, a reach. Like, you know, you're like, what are you... Hopefully it works out for them. But they really actually haven't been that good at picking running backs and wide receivers in the later rounds. It hasn't overly worked out for them. So I don't overly know what they're doing.
No, when you look at that, I mean, DeJuan's dribbling is John Middlecoff, by the way, sorry. DeJuan's dribbling, yeah, highly regarded, but like...
Third round pick is what everyone had.
Yeah, everyone had him.
Especially when you, like, Denzel Boston, who could have been a first round wide receiver, was available.
I know. Why? So, yeah, I had, when I looked at teams that I thought had had a bad draft, I had the 49ers in there. I didn't think the Rams had a good draft. I think taking Ty Simpson at 13, I didn't think he was that great at Alabama. He's only played 15 games to start with. I said this in my Friday night recap video. This has just got Anthony Richardson written all over it again.
Do you know any other team, I would agree... But because it's the Rams, I actually think they probably have some sort of developmental strategy for him. So I am a bit more secure in the fact that if it was any other team, I'd be, what are you doing? But it's the fact that it's Sean McVay, and if Sean McVay wanted him, which he says he does, but we're not sure again.
That face didn't show it to me.
Unhappy coach that you kind of go, well, I'm sure they've got a plan for him, so... I think maybe they're going the Jordan Love sort of Packers route, which did actually work out in the end for the Packers to go from Rodgers to Love. So hopefully it works out for them. Hopefully it works out for everyone involved. But yes, definitely an interesting draft for the Rams. Claire at tight end will be a great addition to that tight end room. I do genuinely think they're trading for AJ Brown because I don't think they did much on their offense to improve it.
No, I'm just having a look at who else. Yeah, Ty Simpson, I had down as the most surprising pick. And the biggest reach. I had him down in both of those. And
I had...
I didn't realise they had so little capital.
Yes, no, I did know that. Yep.
So little capital.
That's why everyone thought they might trade down. Jeremiah Love was a bit surprising to the Cardinals. The other one that surprised me, Caleb Banks.
Yes.
For the pure fact, the other defensive tackles were still on the board. And he is a very large man who has had two broken foot injuries. On the same foot. So I thought that was a bit of a reach as well. So he was my reach player as well.
Yeah, what did I...
And then obviously DeJuan Stribley.
Yeah.
Those were my two where I went, okay.
When I looked at worst trade, I think it was hard because... But I think Kansas trading up to six... To get the LSU kid, I think he was going to be there at nine.
I don't understand. To take that chance.
I don't think there was any chance anyone was taking him before nine.
No, I actually think the Saints would have taken him.
No, I always had the Saints taking a wide receiver.
No, I think because the cornerback was higher, Mansoor Dillon was higher. So I think they most of the time when that happens, it's because they've heard something so that they want to ensure they get their pick. They didn't really give away much for either, so I don't think it was that bad of a
decision. No, I had Dillon going at 12 originally. I had him going to the Cowboys.
Yeah,
because that was a real need of theirs.
You also don't know if someone was talking to the Commanders or the Saints to move up to get him ahead of the Chiefs because people thought he might go to the Chiefs.
I always had the Giants taking a linebacker. I always had the Browns taking offensive tackle. I always had the Commanders taking something like a safety or a linebacker, and I had the Saints taking a wide receiver. So.
On the reverse of that, though,
yeah,
I think the Browns, that was one of the best trades because the Browns still got who they wanted and they got picked up some capital.
I reckon the Browns had one of the best drafts.
I have the Browns at, I think, number three.
Yeah.
So I have two teams ahead of them, but I have them at three.
I think the Browns...
But they had a stellar draft last year as well, actually, when you look back on it.
Yeah, I'm just having a look now who else the Browns got because... they got Fano and then they got...
Concepcion
and Boston. I mean,
that fully redoes your wide receiving room.
But the thing I did joke about when I wrote it in my notes is I got those three and then I went, who's actually throwing to them and who on earth are they actually protecting because I'm like...
I didn't know they had to redo that wide receiver room because all they had was Jerry Jeudy.
I know, Taylor and Green, that is just such a brand selection. I mean, I cannot see they're going to use him as quarterback.
Do you know why I think they did that? Because Taylor Green has very similar traits to Lamar Jackson. So I think it's just interesting that you have Todd Monken who's just come from Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
So I think maybe potentially that could be it. Otherwise, he could be... Again, do you know how the Browns picked that quarterback... quite a few years ago, who turned out to be quite a good wide receiver in the supplementary draft.
No.
Okay.
No, I can't remember.
It will come to me, I think, so with T. But, so, again, that would be fine. Like, that's a six-round pick. I didn't particularly mind them taking a six-round pick. Like,
I also think, as well, some of these teams take someone like that in the six.
Yeah.
Put them through, like, pre-season and everything. Make them look half decent.
And then,
next year draft them out, trade them out for a fourth.
I think
And then you get, you know, you see that quite often. And I think a few teams have done that.
Yeah.
The most interesting and what I think, if we talk about those people that dropped, I mean, in my video Friday night, I was convinced that Jermaine McCoy was going to go in the top 10 of round two, and for him drop to the first pick of round four. I mean, if he's fit, the Raiders have killed this draft.
You wonder what they've found out.
There's problems there with the knee.
Like, there must be something more than just what is an ACL. Like, there must be a lot more going on there.
I'm interested. Where did you have the Raiders? Did you have them one or two?
No.
Okay, you had them well down.
The Raiders draft, if you took the Raiders off-season hole, sure, but if just the draft, there's some bloody weird picks in there that I don't know why they did that.
Yeah.
I was like, the safety pickup, the Stoops, there was better safeties on the board, I thought. The Crawford, the edge out of Auburn.
Stoops is very highly regarded, though.
But, like, there were a few here that I go, and then why the hell are you picking Mike Washington Jr.? Like, what do you need? I don't get it.
You're going for a 1-2 punch. He's different to Genty, right?
Not
he's
really.
way more physical.
Not overly.
He's your boy.
He should have gone somewhere else.
He's your boy.
I just think he's a waste on the Raiders. Like, it's just the Raiders draft class I found very peculiar. No, I have them down at 18.
Okay, that's interesting.
I didn't think it was that great.
But the fallers, I mean, to me, the biggest, I mean, take Parvio out of the conversation. I didn't think for 1 minute Parvio was getting drafted.
I don't think.
I did not
he
think
not,
he was getting
he
drafted.
He also didn't fall because he was ranked at 320 or something. So he wasn't, so that was not a fall.
I think when you look at two quarterbacks that started last season that were being talked about as first round picks, Kate Klubnik.
I also think those two quarterbacks are the reason that Ty Simpson came out.
And Garrett Nussmeier.
I think that's why Simpson came out. Because both those quarterbacks.
To go from a top 10 pick in 2024.
All the way down.
To 243. I think that's a great pickup for Kansas. I mean, it was interesting because the medicals, he was struggled last year, and I watched him last. I actually physically watched both of those quarterbacks, even though it was only for one game. I was physically watched both of those quarterbacks, and I was, Kate Klubnik to me, I was like, he was all over the place against what turned out to be a really average LSU. But Nussmeier, apparently they found a cyst in his spine.
Which is just, that's, if you heard that on your daily life, if someone came into the office and they're like, a cyst in his spine, you go, oh my God, like, are you okay?
You're kind of going, well, you know, cysts can be easily removable, but then, you know.
But a cyst on your spine, you wonder, like, why do you have a cyst on your spine? Is this a reoccurring medical problem that will keep happening? Like, there's lots of questions. When something's spinal related, there's a lot of questions that are unknown, really.
And it's interesting because if Mahomes does not start,
you'll get Justin Fields to start.
You possibly get Justin Fields.
Yeah.
But you've now got real competition there now. Because Nussmeier is a good quarterback.
The other thing I thought was interesting about Nussmeier that started coming out in the draft process, he was interviewing terribly. Like, really terribly. So I thought that was interesting because, I didn't realise he's the coach of an offensive coordinator in the league.
Yeah, he's the son of an offensive.
So
yes, that's
why
right.
Is the why is his offensive coordinator, father, not teaching him better to interview? Like, that was the thing that was weirding me out, because I was surely you would almost have like an inside loop of what you should say in these draft interviews, and you're doing poorly? That kind of red flagged for me is a bit strange.
But then we've seen sons of NFL players, coaches, kind of, we saw it at Cleveland last year, right? So, the other one for me, Harold Perkins Jr. He had a great start last year and was highly rated at
has his injuries as well.
But a great player, and again, fell a very long way. So, did you have anyone that you thought had fallen way past where they should have?
The weirdest fall was Garrett Nussmeier.
Yeah.
The other fall, which I thought was interesting, I'm just scrolling up or down to it. Zachariah Branch, I thought was amazing. So I have him not as my four, but as a value pickup. He was available and well after I thought he would be, and he's gone to a great place. That was also one of my favourite picks, was that actually the two for the Falcons, then the Falcons had some weird picks after that, but the two first Falcons picks, Zachariah Branch, and I don't know why I can't find this. Oh yeah, Zachariah Branch and You know what? I'm on my wrong screen. That would be why I can't find it, Darren.
I had Jermaud McCoy as the best value.
Avion Terrell.
Yeah, Avion Terrell.
Also my favourite story of the draft. Yeah. Like, the two brothers, they were so good. But Zachariah Branch will be amazing opposite Drake London. Because you've got the little speed. Like, he can do the downfield routes and he can do the under coverage to free up Drake London. And then you've got Avion Terrell to go in the slot corner. So I just thought this was fantastic. So yeah, well done, Falcons.
Yeah, no, that Falcon story was really good. Mm-hmm. My best moment story was with the Pat Tillman pick. Cincinnati Bengals picking the Navy player. I thought that was just like, they're not at liberty to pick a military player or anything like that.
No.
But then it just, that just worked out. And it was, that was great. And the other best moment was the Nigerian.
Yes.
Now, apparently his statistics are off the chart.
Yes.
Well, but he's never played Eagles. A game of football ever in his life.
Of course the Eagles got him.
Of course.
Jordan Mailata.
Well, Jordan Mailata, that's right, yeah. But, you know, it must show that they've got fingers out there, right, that are really...
Yeah.
What's his name? You are Bernard or something like that. So, apparently his statistics are off the chart.
Yeah.
But he's just never played a game of football. So, I thought that was quite interesting. Best match pick, I had Sonny Styles to Washington.
My best match pick.
He just felt like a damn.
He was one of them, but the other two, I had actually a double whammy. Julian Neal, he's out of Arkansas, so I do have a bit of watch of him. But, and Bud Clark to Seahawks and Mike McDonald's defense.
Oh, yes.
Julian Neal is a large, rangy, versatile corner, and then you've got Bud Clark to replace Kobe Durant to left. So, yeah, I think that will be a fun pick for them. Who was your best value pick?
Oh, I just said it was Jermaud McCoy. I thought that the fourth round, if he stays healthy, of course.
I had CJ Allen, the Georgia linebacker, to the Colts.
Oh yeah,
place Zaire Franklin. I was surprised he was available where he was, and yeah, he'll be good.
Riskiest pick, I think Caden Proctor, Miami. I've heard a lot of noise. The attitude and self-starting is a problem
and
with that
weight,
guy.
Weight problem.
And you look at, like, the draft room, his home room, where his mom was in a wedding dress and all of them were in white, and he kind of had that look of, like, I'm the man type thing, and I was like, because I've got to be honest, I wasn't hot on Miami's draft. I've heard some of the experts on CBS give them an A, and I'm like, nah, I'm not. I thought they had a lot of picks. I thought they could have used those picks to have traded up a lot of times and got much better, even if they'd have only picked six players.
There were four players in the Miami draft who I thought were really good, and the rest of them, I was like, good luck to you.
I was kind of like...
And that was Jacob Rodriguez.
Yes.
Who I have as my potential... What did I say this category was?
I had Rodriguez in the first round, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't even remember. Best plug and play, maybe? Either way, biggest impact. I think he's going to make the biggest impact. I do think he's going to be a fantastic middle linebacker for the Dolphins. So I thought that pickup, Chris Johnson, I thought was good at quarterback for the Dolphins. I thought Chris Bell would be fun wide receiver, and then Michael Taff at safety. And then the rest of them, yeah, no.
I thought they had about 11, didn't they? 11 or 12. I thought they could have put a few picks together and they could have got up the board and they could have really... Because people were saying they've got six starters and I was like, no way.
Well, they have six starters because they have no one on their team.
Well, that's right. When it said any team that has changed their identity, I think Miami is one of the ones that if you look at who they've picked, they're all smash mouth, whereas they've been very Waddle, Tyreek, Tua. They are very changing the identity.
I heard the Cowboys because they appeared to actually listen to their defensive coordinator.
Yes.
So I thought that was a changing identity because I was like, damn, Cowboys.
Yeah, I thought the Cowboys did well to get Caleb Downs at 11.
Yeah.
Good Lord, he would have had about a 4% chance of being on the board at 11.
Who's your desperate pick?
I don't know if I actually wrote one. I really toyed with one, and then it would have sounded stupid that I have put it down.
I have Nate Borkirker.
Oh, okay.
The Jags tight end that was like valued as a fifth round pick that went in round two or three.
Yeah.
Like that was shocking.
I mean, the crazy thing to me, the most desperate team who really needed to pick well.
The Jags.
The Jags pretty, I mean, I thought the Jags picks were pretty average.
The Vikings.
The Raiders have gone all in on Mendoza, and if he doesn't work, they are in the... They're gone. They've got some talent there now, there's no doubt about it. They've got good two running backs. Obviously, they've got a great tight end, but injured last year. Obviously, an injured Max Crosby that couldn't get his way to... So they've got some talent, but I think if they do not hit... It's not desperate because of who they pick, but it's a desperate situation. Because I think, given the division they're in, with the teams they're in, who only got better, again... I think that the Mendoza pick, they are desperate for that to work. Because if it doesn't, then I think they are in the wilderness and they are not going to be competitive in that division for 10 years.
Best underground star?
I think I did it. You did that one.
D'Angelo Ponce to the Jets.
Oh, good pick.
I think he's going to be a great cornerback.
Good pick.
I think he'll be fun and I think, he'll be cool. What about plug and play? I also had a Jets. I had David Bailey.
Yeah, David Bailey was instant, right?
Easy.
I thought the Jets were probably going to be, and after I thought about it, I kind of slapped myself because I'm like, what are you on about? I kind of had them taking Arvell Reese because Reese or Bailey were going to go too. And then I thought, nah, they've got time. They've let people go. They're going to rebuild over time. But then I looked at Aaron Glenn last year and I went, nah, he needs to win.
Yeah,
because they were so bad. Mm-hmm. So I kind of kicked myself for not putting Bailey at two because that kind of made sense. But when I looked at the best building, I just thought Jets probably could get themselves 6-7 wins this year.
Yeah. I also think the pickup of Cade Klubnik.
Yeah.
Fine. Let's see if he works. Because, round four, you may as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, get a quarterback and see. So, I do actually think the quarterback who's going to start first, though, is I actually think it's Cardinals.
Duh.
I think he'll start first.
Yes.
Carson Beck. Yeah, he'll start first.
No, it was interesting. I was listening to that, and because of old mate on the holdout.
Yeah. I think he's going to start first.
He could start first.
Or Mendoza.
There's no way that Cousins is not starting week one.
So I think it could pick out.
But what's interesting, when you've looked at the last 7 or 8 quarterbacks that have been picked first in the draft, they've all started week 1.
Yeah.
So it's interesting if he doesn't, because he'll be the first one
for a while.
For a long time that hasn't. So like Bryce Young got thrown in there, Joe Burrow got thrown
in
there.
I think he'll be good though, because he is not used to a pro style offense. So I think it'll be good to give him some learning.
He's got that vibe of a Chicago quarterback to me. Because if you looked at his games last year. He's like 180 yards. 5 touchdowns.
Yeah.
No 400-yard games. No Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Philip Rivers. Like, none of those kind of... He's not that quarterback. He's a bit of a dink-dunk, get the yards after the play. Because you look at Chicago, they didn't have a 3,500-yard quarterback.
They'll work for Clint Kubiak, though, because that's the type of offense he runs.
But it's the whole under center shotgun that doesn't match Kubiak's kind of play. So it's going to be interesting. I really want him to succeed because he just seems like a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's so polished. It's almost like he was doing TED Talks or something because he's just so polished. He stares down the camera. He's a bit like his boss. We've got camera shambles.
I just thought that would happen at some point.
Camera shambles, there
it's
we okay. go.
It's not your camera, Darren. Don't
worry. The DT favourite pick. I had the DT favourite pick.
Who did you assume I was going to say?
It's not who I assumed. It's your, who have I moaned about the most? And now hopefully think that they've fixed the Denver Broncos picking a running back.
Yes.
And probably not a bad running back at that either for the value of where he was picked as well. Because, of course, the Broncos did not pick in the top 2 rounds. They're only one of something like 10 or 12 teams in the history of the NFL that have not picked in the top 2 rounds.
I thought it was interesting because I think they had a good draft in that they build depth. I wouldn't say they got any, stars.
No.
None of these names will probably be household names. So they were good for their depth. I also thought it was interesting... two tight ends, so they're still obviously not happy with their tight end position.
Well, I think the problem they've got is injuries at that position.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got other players that can come to play running back, like RJ Harvey and stuff like that. But I think they are dancing around and kind of... It was interesting they traded out the second round. There was obviously no one there. They were like, yeah, I'm hot on them.
Yeah.
But then when they had, arguably... the first or second best defense, and they just kind of like took that up a little bit. But you're right, the two tight ends, imagine being sat in the room and you've got the last two picks in the draft, which is really, really rare, and you have to decide which one's Mr. Irrelevant and which one's not Mr. Irrelevant.
That was the name.
So it was kind of like, oh, do we make Dallin Bentley Mr. Irrelevant, or do we make Red Murdoch Mr. Yeah. Irrelevant? And Dallin Bentley must have been like, man, I was so close to a holiday and a trip to Disneyland. And
Red Murdoch is not called Daredevil as a nickname. I don't know what you're doing, because Murdoch, Mad Murdoch.
Out of the A-Team and stuff.
Daredevil,
like.
No, Daredevil out of Marvel.
Oh, okay. Well, Murdoch's so, also Murdoch, crazy as well in the A-Team.
Do you know what colour Daredevil is red? Like, if you do not give that man the nickname Daredevil, what are you doing?
Exactly. You're not even a real... you're not even real into Nick. But, of course, I know Murdoch from the 80s. Yeah. He was the mad guy in the A-Team and stuff.
Shall
like
that. Even?
Actually, Justin Jolie. Very highly regarded. I've listened to quite a few commentators who obviously watch a hell of a lot more because they do it as a full-time job. That Justin Jolie is really
honest,
highly
this
regarded.
It felt like a full-time job.
It did. It did. Okay, go on then. So we've obviously got the show down to do in a couple of minutes.
I was going to say, why don't we finish with best? Who do you think had the best slash most impactful draft?
Well, I was actually, I got something else I wanted to ask you in a minute
okay,
as
ask
well.
Me.
Who's number one and two? You flirted with us. You've teased us with, like, who was my number three. Who do you think had the number one and two?
Well, that's, like, the most impactful, doesn't it?
Yeah, go.
So, one, two, three, Jets, Titans, Browns.
Are you in Jets?
Mm-hmm. Jets, they would have had the best draft. The most impactful, though. Browns, definitely. And then I reckon the Chiefs, because the Chiefs' defense got a hell of a lot better.
Yeah, well, they got some support for Chris Jones.
Jones, yeah, so I think that's who. But, yeah, Browns, I think, definitely retooled and upgraded the whole wide receiver room. I'm going to love their safety picker. Surprise, surprise, one of my favourite players, Emmanuel McNeil Warren.
Yes, well, you had him down as a potential first rounder, I remember.
Yeah, and then the Jets, I thought their strategy of just going for it, that's kind of reminiscent of the Houston Texans a few years ago, where they go, no, we're going to go and get the best players in the draft who fit us the best, and that's what they've done. And I really, really like their first four picks, and then I like their pickup of Darnell Jackson to help their defensive line after they lost a couple of players there over recent years, so yeah.
Yeah, I think your conversation about the Chiefs, that division just, it's going to be just the division of death. Peter Woods, who a lot of people thought could be top 10, dropped down to where he dropped to, and R. Mason Thomas. I don't think the R actually stands for anything.
Yeah, I was confused when that.
I don't think it actually stands for anything, but I think because of the work they did before the draft and where it left them at the draft.
The full off-season.
I'm kind of just thinking about how they position themselves and what it allowed them to do.
The Eagles.
I think it's either the Eagles.
The Eagles' best team building strategy.
The Giants. I liked what the Giants did. Arvel Reese.
I have Eagles first, then Giants.
Then Mooney Noah, and then Colton Hood, Malachi Fields, J.C. Davis. They're all good players.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I kind of looked at it and I went, it's Harbaugh being a bit Harbaugh as usual. You know, lots of defense, and I called them in my video the Baltimore Giants because that's kind of what it felt they were doing. But yeah, I think also the Steelers. I mean, they're just such a well-run organization, right? Malachi Lemon stealing them from the Steelers. Eli Stowers, who I put out there at Carolina. I was surprised with Carolina going the way they did, first pick, but a lot of Carolina Panther fans are happy. I thought the Steelers, the Eagles have positioned themselves well, but I like the Giants pick. I like what the Saints did. Mm. They put full-on faith in the QB by going Jordan Tyson and then taking Oscar Delp at tight end.
I was surprised the Giants went tackle at number 10. Yeah. I just thought there was different prospects they could have had.
Yeah. But they've obviously put in frontline power up there, right? Mm-hmm. So, interesting. There's another year done. I could carry on talking about this for another 2 hours.
We have a lot more that we can talk about.
I know. And maybe we'll bring some of it back next week. But for now,
So I'm taking back to 2025.
Oh my word, we go retro.
And I'll lay this out, then I'll ask you. So there were four big things that happened. There was the Falcons who traded back into round one to get James Pierce Jr. Jags traded up for Travis Hunter. Packers traded for Micah Parsons. And Colts traded for Sauce Gardner. This all impacted their draft this year. If you were ranking them, what one is the most regrettable right now? I will tell you my ranking. You can then, so you have time to think about it.
Yes.
I have Jags, I think, is the most regrettable right now, because Travis Hunter appears to have been moved to just, is just going to be a cornerback, which is fine, but if you're giving up that much capital that they gave up for him, it's interesting that now he's going to be a DB, and then the Jags doubled down on wide receivers in the draft, and they traded for wide receivers, so I think that's done. I think the storyline that he can play both is done. I think the Sauce Gardner, because he was injured so much and he didn't have as much of an impact, because I know James Pierce Jr. has obviously his issues and he might be coming back this season, which is good. I hope he gets the help he needs and is also a good member in society. And then the Packers, Micah Parsons is the least regrettable because he was so impactful for the Packers and he just unfortunately had that injury and hopefully he won't have any going forward. So I have, yeah, Jags, Colts, Falcons, Packers in that order is most regrettable.
Yeah, I would probably have gone Falcons first.
So if James Pierce Jr. is on the field this year, though, is it regrettable? No.
I guess it depends what version of him comes back, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Then probably Travis Hunter, but only because of the injury.
Yeah.
I watched him play, and he looked good. It's always hard, and it was said right from the start, right?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to play two positions in the NFL.
Do you think he's worthy of being the capital they gave up to get a DB? Is he worthy of
not
that?
Not for a DB,
of
DB, no. You've got to be a wide receiver to be going at that.
Yeah, but so then is it regrettable? Because he is going to be a DB this year.
I mean, it will be interesting to see what comes, because he, you know, I think his primary position was wide receiver when I watched him play. He's a good DB, but I thought
year.
He was an excellent wide receiver. So to then put him back to DB, it kind of feels like a player that's not going to be there in 2 years' time.
That's what I mean.
And it probably feels like he's going to be a fourth-round pick or a third-round pick for someone. And again, it's how you come back from the injury, right? So probably, given what you're saying, I would say he'd be number two. Sauce Gardner's going to be good. Disappointing impact, but moved.
Yeah.
To a Colts team that then fell apart.
Yeah.
In the second half, you know, they fell apart all around the field. They were constantly chasing games when Jones got injured and stuff like that, and they were battling with a 45-year-old quarterback, so they could never really put a lot of pressure on teams. They had to. There was so much pressure on the defense to keep them in games.
Mm-hmm. I just think Micah Parsons is
absolutely. He's got to be the least regrettable.
Yeah.
I think what's interesting as well, when people have been grading teams, they're kind of forgetting about the trades that were done before the draft. So they like go to Denver, they go, oh yeah, but Denver traded down to like the third round and they picked, I'm like, yeah, they also picked Jalen Waddle at number 30.
Yeah.
You know, it's that kind of stuff that people have kind of forgotten about, is that kind of like they picked Jalen Waddle,
you
know, the
draft
Bengals.
Grades, and then you do off-season grades, which we will in the next few weeks get into our off-season grades, because there's definitely teams that I think had a great off-season overall that did not draft well.
Yes. Yeah. 100%. Yes. So, yes, Wolf. Yes. And so, yes, I think it's been fascinating. Couple of my predictions, 6 wide receivers in the first round, got to 5.
Yeah.
Damn you, Kansas, for not going wide receiver. And then for the record amount of trades, got within 1 again. It was 8, and when it was previous, it was 9. So, I thought it was a fascinating draft, for considering when you got outside the top 12, the talent was then questionable, right? So I think it was fascinating for the way the teams went about it. But obviously the next big thing to come up is going to be the schedule release, which I'm looking forward to very much.
Yes, which we can rate the schedule release videos as well.
Absolutely. So that is pretty much the end of our show. So don't forget, as always, get on Facebook if you want to do the full food polls, YouTube to watch our studio versions, and on Instagram and TikTok to just watch us doing dumb, stupid stuff, but popular dumb, stupid stuff. So that is the end of our show. Thank you very much for tuning in. My name is Darren Lees.
And I'm DT.
And we'll see you next Monday night.
can make radio. With